This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, so... so much stuff going on today. Those Doge emails, I think, have been widely misunderstood. After Trump asked Elon Musk to double down.
Well, misunderstood or misrepresented.
Both of those.
Yes.
Okay. This is what Elon Musk wrote explaining this, okay? And he explains, we're operating at the request of the president. I'm not just randomly doing this because I woke up and decided to do it. Musk writes, the reason talking about the... emails. The reason this matters is that a significant number of people who are supposed to be working for the government are doing so little work, they're not checking their email at all. In some cases, we believe non-existent people or the identities of dead people are being used to collect paychecks. In other words, there is outright fraud. That was the purpose of the emails. And then he's responding to another person who was tweeting, Sadie, now we understand why the left is flipping out about a simple email. The fraud doesn't stop at the top. It goes far beyond. And Elon Musk tweets back, they are covering immense fraud. So basically, this was in part a way to see if these people are real.
Yeah.
Or is this just another way to steal money from the American people?
I just think it's interesting how these folks are complaining about having to send an email about what they do each day. Tara, our news staff, every day, we have a Zoom call meeting every day. Everybody attends via video that's not already here.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an assignment sheet where they report to me what stories that they have done, what they've posted. I send that to my boss. All of this is done every single day, Monday through Friday. We do this every day. This is standard operating procedure. This is not something unusual.
So everyone in the newsroom is real then?
Yes, they are.
So
they're absolutely real.
Okay.
We heard the voices. They're not AI. Those are not computer-generated voices. Those are real people doing real jobs every day and getting a paycheck.
And so, again, this is, again, a fraud detection effort. When you look at what Musk is doing here and some of the stuff they found over the weekend is unbelievable. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. Trump actually detailed some of it, too, at CPAC. I'm going to play that. It's just unbelievable what they were spending money on. But just to give you an idea of what the cost is to Elon Musk, he is the 13th baby. He's got a new baby mama, and you may have seen he has some baby mama drama. Her name is Ashley St. Clair. I don't know the details of it, and I don't normally care. It's his personal life. I'm not that interested.
Well, you got to populate Earth before you can populate Mars, apparently.
And he's going to do it by
yes,
himself,
yes,
apparently.
Exactly.
It's the goal there.
Yeah.
So, but here's what's interesting, okay? In this UK Daily Mail article about that, he's, you know, he and the two of them had some public falling out or whatever, the baby mom. But she shared a bunch of correspondence between him and her. And normally, like I said, I wouldn't even talk about this except this. And she's in it. He's begging her, don't go public. Don't put my name on the birth certificate. Do not in any way indicate that I am the father. You know, and the reason is this. This is what he writes. And this is just an insight into what his life and I think Trump's are like on a daily basis, which is so fascinating. He writes to her, I get credible death threats every day. I'm number two after Trump for assassination. He writes, wake up. This is not the time for sentiment at the expense of safety. If I make a mistake on my security, the name of his child's blanked out, so mm-hmm. we don't know what it is. Yeah. If I make a mistake on the name of security, blank will never know his father. And he says, necessary for now, only the paranoid survive. He says he cannot make even the tiniest mistake on security mm-hmm. or he will be dead. Then he says, the threat level, this is, by the way, written before the election, okay? The threat level will reach insane levels until the election is decided. And then he put loose lips sink ships. Mm-hmm. So that's just, he doesn't talk about this much, but, and he obviously didn't intend for that to be released. That is what his life is like on a day-to-day basis. Number two assassination target after Trump. Can you imagine what Trump's life is like on a day-to-day basis for just doing these things?
You got terrorist organizations, sovereign nations, you know, American dissidents that are going after him.
Various assorted Democrats.
Well, yeah, that too, right. Well, I did say American dissidents, and that's pretty much the Democrat Party.
Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting that he sent that to her. He's like, you know, look, you cannot go public with this. You are going to make yourself a target. People will try to hurt you, try to hurt my son just because he's my son. And he's basically telling her, look, if you're living out there on your own in an apartment and not in the compound, you need to understand what you're facing.
So in other words, he's not worried about his own safety. He's worried about the safety of
the child,
the progeny. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why he's saying, and then she even texts back. Yes, I know. I know. It's why I didn't put your name on the birth certificate. And he's saying, no, you don't know. You don't understand how bad this is. So everybody's saying, oh, he's on a power trip. He doesn't need this. Every day he does this, he risks his life. And as he said, if I make one small mistake on my security, I'm dead. And here's the thing. Foreign governments, people still inside our government, there's no telling.
No.
There's no telling. Because why? They are personally coming after and attacking the FBI, the CIA, all of their funding sources, all of their power bases. That's what this USAID thing's about. There's a tremendous amount of risk here. The only way to make the pain stop is for Musk and Trump to go away. And it would probably stop at least to a degree, especially if Musk went away, because he's the one who has the technical ability to find this stuff. Meanwhile, overnight, did you notice this? Cash Patel is our first person of color FBI director. I must have missed the celebration of that on the left over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be appearing on The View here shortly.
Well, yeah, because if he was an Indian American Democrat taking over the FBI.
Well, of course.
Well, that would be a big deal,
absolutely,
right? I mean, that would be
absolutely
historic, and we would be required to celebrate.
Right, yeah.
And it's not even a thing.
Yeah.
It's not even a thing.
Well, I mean, it's just like any woman of color or whatever is never celebrated by that is a Republican or works for a conservative, administration is never celebrated by the left. Never.
No.
Even though they claim to be about women's rights, they're about, well, women that agree with us and are willing to submit to our policies and our narrative.
Yes. And yeah, absolutely. And then over the weekend, this came out from Doge. Thank God for Doge. It's a list of terror-affiliated organizations that got funding from USAID. What, $165 million organizations? $165 million to these terrorists.
Okay.
It's about 20 terrorist-linked organizations.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of them actually listed, designated as terrorist organizations by the State Department or adjacent to terror. Without Democrat-run government agencies funding terrorists around the globe, I mean, would we even need a war on terror? I don't know. But this is what USAID is doing. So when they're saying, oh, people are going to, you know, starve in Africa or something, you mean the terrorists?
Maybe we should start an organization called Defund Terrorism.
I'm serious.
They tried to do that with police, so let's I think that would be far more successful. Let's defund terrorism.
I'm serious.
Defund the cartels.
This is why, though, Trump, if you look at what he's done, you know, we finally got the ruling on Friday from the judge, he could fire 2,000 of the 10,000 USAID workers. All the rest of them, he's put on leave, just about, almost all of them. Why? You can't have them at their computers. Yeah. It's too dangerous for the world.
Yeah, those gold bars could be headed to the Titanic again.
Oh, I know.
The Titanic again.
And then they might end up in Al-Qaeda's hands. Yeah. I mean, you don't know what they're going to do. They gave $9 million to Al-Qaeda in Syria. They run it through these nonprofits, and then the money gets handed right to them. In some cases, literally in stacks of cash, as they were giving $40 million a pop to the Taliban. I had that story last week. So $167 million more to terrorist-linked organizations from USA. This is why Trump, and they got really creative, ended the lease on the USAID office with the landlord.
Yeah.
So that the doors would be locked. The reason is, while they were doing all this legal wrangling over can Trump fire these USAID people, there's 10,000 of them or not, you have to keep them away from their computers, away from the funding streams, unable to press send or transfer because God knows what terror org's going to get funded.
Yeah.
This is a heck of a battle. We had no idea. We knew our government was bad, but we had no idea how bad.
Well, I think some of us had an idea. There's just we have more evidence to lead to that conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. More on that when we come back. Where do you find out where our money was going? This terribly sad story of what happened to those two babies kidnapped on October 7th. It's all connected. Next.